The Lock-In Podcast is brought to you by Rotocloud, the all-in-one solution for managing hospitality teams. Rotocloud lets you plan and share rotas, record attendance, and manage your team's annual leave, all in less time than it takes to make a brew. It also makes life easier for your staff, allowing them to check their rotas, request annual leave, and even pick up extra shifts, all through the Rotocloud mobile app. Start your 30-day free trial today by visiting rotocloud.com/lock-in. Hello and welcome to the Lock-In Podcast, the show that lifts the lid on life in the pub trade by those working in it. I'm the morning advertiser's Ed Beddington, and with me as always are my two partners in podcast crime, James Cuthbertson and Heath Ball. Heath is renowned for being a down-to-earth publican, salt of the earth, in touch with a common man. And the other day he was overheard commenting to his team, how hard is it to find a truffle pasta in London? James, meanwhile, has no such grand delusions. He has lots of delusions, they're just not very grand.
Do I have to be the whipping boy every week? That's all I'm saying.
Every week. It's a big target. Hello, gents. So, I mean, the question we all want to know, Heath, did you find your truffle pasta, and how was it?
It wasn't very good. It ended up in some dodgy restaurant in Mayfair. It was like being in Moscow in the 90s. There was a DJ, and there were working ladies at the bar. But we had truffle pasta, and it was...
Do you not get working ladies at most bars?
Well, I mean ladies of the night.
Waiting on staff? No, ladies of the night.
Yes. So,
so you didn't get truffle pasta, you got truffle pasta. I just want to be clear that that's maybe not the same thing.
He got something else.
Yeah. So it wasn't very good, but...
It's some ointment for it, that's sure.
Live and learn.
Excellent. Okay, so this week's episode, we're going to be focusing on review sites, and not just the steam coming out of Heath's ears, although that is a happy bonus. We're at the Prince of Peckham in, funnily enough, Peckham, and we'll be hearing from the pub's operator, Clement Ogbenaya, during the podcast as well. And we'll also be talking to Tony Kent from Reputation.com to pick his brains on best practice when it comes to handling review sites. But before all that, let's take a look at the week's goings-on. It's been a quiet one, hasn't it, chaps?
What do you mean, quiet?
Not a lot going on.
There's loads going on.
Is there? Go on, and what's...
I think Pending Doom Island's probably the first, the first sign of...
Her up north won't have none of that. She can't be outdone.
No, she'll be...
She'll be charging down with some other restrictions.
There's a lot going on. The whole Omicron... I mean, Christmas, how optimistic are we feeling at the moment?
I'm somewhere in the middle, I think. It depends whether Boris can be inactive enough to let us get to the 18th, which is said to be the next review, and see how we go from there.
He did what last year, was it 14th when he knocked it on the head? 14th or 15th he knocked it on the head?
No, it was close.
If he does, I think it was right to the wire.
Yeah. No, was it?
You think
if he does it again this year.
It was Christmas Eve, wasn't it?
I think it was.
It was like the 14th and 15th or something like that.
We've definitely got Christmas, I think.
We did 2 weeks of trading, I think.
I think we can expect... I mean, if you can do it, just the first 2 weeks in Jan, we can all do... You know, we can all live with that, I think.
Yeah, well, no one's drinking. You know what I mean?
All the vegans are serving.
You say that, but you're going to see all the Christmas party bookings that have been cancelled pre-Christmas are being pushed to January.
No, they won't. They're not being rebooked. That's the thing. I don't think they're being rebooked at all.
Some operators I'm speaking to aren't getting that through. They are getting rebookings. Yeah.
Can we talk about that thing that text that they put on the chat we're on from Sainsbury's?
Well, no. I mean, that's one thing, isn't it? Sainsbury's did announce that they were encouraging staff not to have Christmas parties, and they cancelled all the Christmas parties.
But they also cancelled people who had Christmas parties for them.
There was a thing that went out. We haven't got the proof that it was a genuine thing, but yeah, the suggestion was that there would be disciplinary action, all sorts. I think that was a bit of an email that was sent by an overzealous manager, really. But the reality is, Sainsbury's has told all his staff to cancel all their Christmas parties.
The mood in the camp.
They will pay the costs if there's any costs incurred. So
I'm available for some invoicing if people need some.
Sort of maybe split 50-50.
Probably shouldn't have recorded that actually.
Yeah, it's all right.
I mean, yeah, that's a big problem, isn't it? If we're seeing companies like that going down that road, then it's only a matter of time before others do as well.
Yeah, I think they're scaring people away, aren't they? And then people don't want to get it. People don't want to get the virus and then not have Christmas with their family.
Well, this is it. It's a double whammy. If you're going to your company Christmas party and you feel you should because it's company,
and then you're infected and it ruins Christmas for you. Most companies are looking at it from through that prism, aren't they, of going, do we want to be held responsible for people coming to us and going, well, I couldn't see my gran, I couldn't see my mum because...
Man, I just need to make sure. I'm lucky my wife doesn't have work to any companies, because if she got COVID and couldn't go to Sweden for Christmas, she'd ruin it for me.
Mm-hmm. He sits there with his TV meal.
Pull a Brunello in it. It's one truffle
like
pasta.
A pig and shit. Yeah.
Never felt more alive. Sitting there in his pants.
I'm so looking forward to the travel ban to Sweden coming through.
No, watch him. Leave the Swedes alone.
Watch him cry.
I'll encourage you to drive.
I mean, interesting is with the Omicron stuff, you know, it's been declared mild by the WHO, and yet we seem to be reacting in this usually sort of panicked way.
When the first one was ripping through the country, the government did nothing about it, and it was quite killing a lot of people. This one, they're like, it's very mild. Shut it all down. It's not going to work. No one ever party.
I mean, the other thing that sort of caught my eye this week, and it's not necessarily pub related, or maybe it is in your pub, Heath, the government cracking down on drugs, drug use, and at the same time, cocaine traces were found in every single toilet in the House of Commons.
They really.
So that's why they have to have the extra jobs, you see, because they have to pay for.
What was it? Robin Williams said cocaine's God's way of telling you in too much money.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I like the headline on the BBC, it says about Boris crackdown on 300,000 cocaine users. I didn't know there were that many MPs.
Is that how many cocaine users they think there are in the UK?
Something like that.
No,
yeah.
Much more. Than
come
that.
On, in a population of 65 million.
Yeah, most of them are in your pub.
Get them in that North London.
And here is, before we move on, here is a particularly special one for Heath. And I've put this in there just to see his reaction. So the UK's most sold wine in pubs, according to the MA's drinks list and CGA data, is...
Knowing the research you do, white.
Yeah, white.
All detail.
Yes, yeah, that's just white wine. Yeah. Is Jack Rabbit's Pinot Grigio, Heath.
Didn't it win last year or something as
probably.
Well?
Probably sponsor some events and stuff.
And people ask why they don't sell more pub wine in their pubs, because they serve that guff.
Like, well, the good news is, though, I mean, we did just want to see what your reaction was that, but the good news is we have actually got some here for you to try.
You haven't.
No, we haven't, actually. No, we couldn't find any.
But sold out.
We were going to make you drink
it. Where's it made?
Just down the bath.
So popular.
Where's it made?
I don't know.
It's going to be one of those ones where they bring the grape juice in and they ferment it in a factory in Slough so they can avoid paying the duty. And
I'm sure it's far higher quality than that. It wouldn't be number one if it wasn't of a high standard, and I maintain that. So, I think maybe let's leave that one there before I get myself in any more trouble. Listening to the Lock In podcast, and we're talking about review sites in this week's episode. We've also got Clem joining us as we're in his pub, and it'd only be polite to get you on board. So, Clem, I mean, what are your thoughts on review sites? Do you like them? Do you engage with them? What do you think?
They're necessary evil, I guess. As we're moving to a world where everyone's online, everyone wants to know everyone's opinion, everyone's got something to say. So it's a necessarily evil for a hospitality industry. And I would say I definitely engage with them. I engage with them a lot more a long time ago than I do now.
Right. What's changed?
I mean, some of the level of... There's a lack of common sense in a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, but also... I think more people are inclined to talk about their bad experiences than they are to talk about their good experiences, and that goes about saying with review sites. But I love reading them, and I love the ones that are really nice. I love the ones that have come out of there with have had a great time, and they've taken time out to say, this is amazing, this is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we're not one of those pubs, because we haven't got the time and we haven't got the budget to have people come in and pay them with free food or whatever to give us good reviews. So all our reviews are genuinely from the bottom of people's hearts and the support and what have you. Mm-hmm. And then we have the one or two, like, odd ones. No, actually, good bad ones. You know, ones that are like, oh, the service time on such and such date was X, Y, Z, and you take that. That's feedback you can report back to your staff and you do something about it. And then you get really like the stupid ones. You know, you get the stupid ones that, and I don't want to call them stupid because I'm... Oh,
Might be too late, Glenn.
But it's almost like I own this pub and I'm black, right? And I have a kitchen called White Men Can't Jerk who run my food, and it's Caribbean inspired food. But above all else, they're my pals, they're my friends. We've built this journey together and I want them involved. And I've had reviews that have one particular review, and the lady was she gave me a 1-star because I have white people in my kitchen. And I just thought it was kind of wild. And I responded to her as such, and I said, look, if you have genuine concerns, then you email me.
Yeah.
You know, this is to review service. This is just and if you're gonna put us a 1-star because we have white people in our kitchen, then we're just not for you.
That's dialogue. That's not a review.
It's not a review,
right? Do you get more good reviews? I mean, do you encourage the good reviews? Do you respond to them? I mean, we spend a lot of time, and we'll be digging into this, particularly with this bugger over here, because he spends half his life complaining back to his customers. But I mean, do you respond to the good reviews?
Oh yeah, of course, absolutely. I think it's important.
If you're just doing all the negatives,
I think it's important. I mean, we have. Also, Google isn't giving us justice. I think we've had over 2,000 reviews. It just doesn't seem to go up anymore. I think we've reached a plateau. But anyway,
you probably got the pay beyond 2,000.
Well, you've got to wonder where the algorithm works, though. Do you know what I mean? They don't really disclose how they actually break it down. Mm. I've looked into it. And I can't work out how they.
But yeah, I definitely respond. I'm like, oh, that's very sweet of you. Thank you. You know, come again, like that, and that sort of thing. I think it's important that people know that when they do say good things, or when people are reading it, people are acknowledging it, you know, as well as just, I mean, some of the bad ones, it's just like, ugh.
Sometimes they answer themselves, don't they? Because if anyone reads it, they go, they're nuts, move on. But the problem is, it's going to affect your ratings, doesn't it?
And that's it, and it's like, the ratings is important, because I'll be honest, if I logged onto a place and it was less than 4, okay, if I'm on Deliveroo, and it's not 4.5 or above, I actually don't order from it. Yeah. And that's crazy, considering I'm in the service industry, such as how we're programmed.
Mm. Mm.
And that's also because you're at home and you don't want them to fuck up your order. I'm not leaving my house. If you fuck up my order, I'm actually fucked. Yeah. But I think if you're making that commitment, the customer has changed. The customer's far more conscious. The customer has a bit more social responsibility. Everyone thinks it's about price, but it's about value. Mm. People don't mind spending that bit more knowing that they're going to get X experience.
Yeah.
And I think if you're in that box and you're checking a review and a sign, it's less than 4 stars or less than, say, 4.2. Actually, that's a bit harsh. 4 stars.
Mm. I think when you're looking at 3.9, then you've got problems.
So that's an interesting question then. So do you guys, you said you look at it when you're getting stuff home. I mean, do you guys do that?
Yeah.
Do you look at the review and actually make your decisions based on it? So even though we're not a fan and you would generally find it quite challenging, you still use it yourself.
I also think it says a lot about this. Does the establishment actually care about the customer?
Mm. I think if they reply, it does. The ones who don't, you know what I mean? Like if they've just got loads of bad reviews and they never reply or there's no interaction, I just think they don't really.
No, but I also, I think if the rating's low.
Yeah.
I just start thinking, as much as I can't stand reviews, it's kind of crazy. I always think, do they actually care about the customer experience? Mm, to allow your review. You know, there's still gonna be a pride about your Google score.
It's also a way of evidence, isn't it? If you are that low, there's been a certain number.
Yeah,
unless you're new,
absolutely.
There's a number, there's disquiet around it that you would make you think twice, certainly.
Because you'd click on it, and if it was two people
that
had a bad, then you kind of think, okay, cool. But if it's like 1,000, and 1,000 people,
they can't all be wrong.
They're not all nuts. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, it's one of those ones.
I suppose it's a good way of like seeing, you know, like, oh, I'll pull up stuff and I go, guys, and I put it on my staff chat and I go, what's going on here? What happened here? And then I usually try and find them and then send them an email and get in touch and say, do you know, we're really sorry about that. But
on the flip side of this, which probably we use our review sites to encourage staff to, so I have this thing like, surprise me, right? Whatever it is, surprise me. And they go away and I see a review and some
jump out of the cupboard.
I'm a nervous disposition at this current stage of my life. Particularly with the new pending Omicron V coming up. Yeah. Let's not talk about that. But yeah, it's we get reviews, and when they mention a member of staff's name, I give them a £20 bar tab.
Okay.
And it's like, it's one of those ones, because if you can exchange your name and a customer remembers your name, then I think you've actually impacted that individual.
Yes.
So we do that. I mean, it doesn't happen as I mean, I'm probably glad it doesn't happen as much as it should.
Because they're all sick of the barbers.
Bruv, can you just come in and say my name?
All his friends coming in.
But it works. You know, there's positive engagement. I feel like, you know, the staff genuinely, they want to be, there's a pride about it. They want to be spoken about positively. They want Clem to say, oh, look what someone said.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where it becomes a positive tool.
Well, it's hospitality, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? I think.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, coming back to your ridiculous complaint about the guys in the kitchen, did you reply to that? What did you say to that?
Yeah, I replied.
I think your reply was quite measured, though. I read it. I'd go hard. Like, I'd be the opposite. I'd just go right.
Because you'd never learn.
I've learned today.
But I also think, see, and it's interesting you said it's quite measured, because I showed it to a colleague of mine and she said I was on the defensive from the jump. So it's interesting how people took that. But for me, it was like, I agree. I thought I was measured myself. And I said to her, look, these are sort of questions I'm happy to have a conversation. Here's my email address. I put my email address in there.
Did she get in touch?
She did email me.
Oh, really?
And her email, she didn't read what I wrote. Because I wrote in the review, and I said, look, so I already answered your situation, and then she emailed me even more, and I just said, at this point, we should just agree to
disagree. She just wants to fight.
Yeah, and I said, at this point, we should just agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And that's fine. We're just not for you. Mm. But I also think that's equally fine.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be all things to all men, and... You know,
but it's upset her that much.
Yeah, and but you know, and that's fine.
Yeah,
and that's fine. I'm just not the crusader.
Yeah, you don't have the energy for that.
I just haven't got the energy, and I think if you comments like that, I feel you need to have done your research.
Yeah,
before you start, because I can clap back as well. I just think review sites need to remain about the customer experience. Yeah. Value, price, not
scoring points.
It needs to be like that. And if it's going to be something that's a complete segue, then pick up the phone, send an email. My email's everywhere. Do you know what I mean? You know the owner of this business. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I do think review sites are a necessary evil. I hate them and I love them at the same time.
Mm.
But ultimately, it's a great start tool for me to use to motivate my staff.
Yeah.
And what just allows hospitality to supersede service.
So, I mean, obviously TripAdvisor, that's the big daddy of the review sites.
Yeah.
Google's obviously...
I think TripAdvisor's sort of losing ground.
No, do you think so?
I don't know. I actually disagree. I kind of agree with Ed. Google's the easy one. You put it, everyone's on Google. You put it in and it's there, right?
I think like TripAdvisor's like Facebook generation. It's all the older. And this is more TikTok using Google. It's easier. It's more accessible.
It's interesting. It's like TikTok's another... Like, literally, it is controlling shit right now.
Right.
No, it's crazy. Yeah. So we...
Shh. They can hear us.
Go on, I'm interested. TikTok's what?
No, it is. So we had this review, video review of Printer Peckham, and it was... I don't know how deep to dive into this, but it was like, London's black owned pub, right? It said that. It was cool, you know, it's something people have taken on. It's not something we scream about, really.
Yeah.
You know, we're just an amazing pub and I just happen to be black, but it's like, cool, London's black owned pub. And then it went viral, right? And some, I'm talking thousands, almost probably hundreds of thousands right now. And some of the comments on it were just absolutely vile. It was like, I'm not going there because people get stabbed every week. I'm not going there because, like, and that kind of thing. And it became this thing. But on the back of that, don't get me wrong, you're going to have trolls anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But on the back of that, we had this whole new audience that we've never seen. And we actively asked people
where they got it from.
And every single one of us is a TikTok.
Really?
Right, okay. Every single one of us is a TikTok.
And it was a younger generation, admittedly.
Mm. Yeah.
But it was this whole new audience we haven't. And we're now trying to understand how can we use TikTok. Like actually use it effectively.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're working on it at the moment, to be honest, because
that's a whole other marketing side that no one's seen. Yeah,
I think if that's a little tip, guys. TikTok.
By the way, Eddie's fucking confused right now. He thinks it's all come from a clock.
Is that not what we're talking about?
It's staring into space.
Something to do with a mouse running up it? Is that,
Mate, I'll give you a little bit of time on it later. I'm down with a kid.
Okay, well, I'm conscious of the time. We're running close. So, I mean,
How good was the review?
I mean, would you...
Yeah, no, you can complain it's cold.
One of the things, coming back to that credibility of TripAdvisor as well, they give out awards, don't they, to the best reviewed operators. I mean, would you guys accept one of those? Would you celebrate
it? I look at, and I was looking at TripAdvisor the other day, and the pub, the Red Lion's it's got 4.5 on there, and we used to get Reader's Choice, whatever, Traveller's Choice. We used to get banners from them all the time. This year we didn't get one. I was like, what the fuck's going on here? So I went on to one of my competitors' pubs and looked at it, and they've got the Traveller's Choice Award down the road, and they've got a lower rating than me, but they also subscribe to TripAdvisor and pay the yearly fee. They pay the business fee. So I'm thinking, what's going on here? There's a bit of like...
You've got to pay to play. Okay. It's basically what it is, though, isn't it?
Not like that,
Heath, no.
Yeah. But basically...
Yeah. Interesting.
But we're seeing people on TripAdvisor are older. I think the way it's always like Margaret Kent, 85. So
would you do that? I mean, you're a bit more of an urban, cool kind of venue. Would TripAdvisor be a bit of a kiss of death as a promotional thing?
Don't get me wrong, we got Time Out Award and we got Design My Night Award, and we stuck the Time Out thing in there because London just seemed to resonate with it. TripAdvisor, I mean, right now, I wouldn't, it's not something. Time Out for sure, I think. After lockdown has happened, I think it would be good to scream about it.
Yeah.
But TripAdvisor, I'm indifferent. I look at it like every 3 months, 6 months, if I'm honest. Yeah. We're not a restaurant.
No.
And that's another thing that works against us. I think when you're on TripAdvisor, it's more of a culinary experience.
Yeah, you're right.
As opposed to a drinking experience. I've seen a review on TripAdvisor talked about, I was waiting at the door. I was waiting outside to get in for 45 minutes. I'm like, mate, you came on a Saturday night. You're not on the guest list and it's fucking heaving. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you don't go to TripAdvisor.
Alarm bell should be ringing.
You did not get in kind of thing. It is what it is. But like I said, necessary evil, play the game or not. And just be prepared for the consequences if you don't.
Well, I'm sure we'll be discussing some of those consequences later, eh, Heath?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, shit. For the moment, we're out of time. But Clem, thanks very much for that.
Thanks,
you're welcome.
Cheers. This is the Lock-In Podcast, and we're talking reviews. I'm delighted to say we've got Tony Ken from Reputation.com to join us now, down the line. Tell us all about what we're doing wrong. So, Tony, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure. Nice to see you.
Fantastic. I mean, let's start off. Just tell us a bit, what is Reputation.com? What do you guys do?
Essentially, we help companies, and a lot of companies within the hospitality sector, manage their online reputation and improve the customer experience, and that involves a lot of things that a lot of factors that would assist them with that. So managing reviews is part of that, making sure that they can be found easily, helping with how they perform in a Google search, and making sure that you capture all of this sentiment so you can make improvements to your operation. And that's the customer experience side of things.
Cool. Okay. So, I mean, I've got Heath and James with me here. They clearly have their own, how should I put it, uniquely passive-aggressive approach to dealing with review sites, or in Heath's case, probably just more aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's nothing passive about it. But, I mean, what does best practice look like? What would you say to operators about engaging with review sites?
Well, the most important thing is to not ignore it, right? Like, we would suggest that you really want to take notice of your reviews. There's an expectation now that basically the people will go out there and look at reviews, right? I mean, often the first part of a journey for someone to decide where they're going to go is to look what other people have said about them. And so it's absolutely key to look at that and not ignore it. Otherwise, people would begin to think, well, you don't really care what people are saying about you, or you're not taking that feedback on board. So I would consider it a priority. Like, I really would say it's important for you to look at it and think about how you're managing your reviews.
I mean, James Heath, I mean, how much time do you put into this? Because I know, I mean, you obviously get your knickers in the twist about bad reviews and rant a lot about that, Heath. But I mean, how much time
I don't know. It depends how long. Like in the morning, I always check when I'm doing my paperwork and stuff. Just pull up with Google, you get an alert that you've got a review, so that comes up. TripAdvisor, I think you get an email, but it's not instant sort of thing. Google will just pop up my phone, but TripAdvisor will be a couple of days later. So sort of every morning in my routine, when I get up in the morning, make a coffee, check this previous day's sales at the pubs, and then sort of just
then grind your teeth.
Yeah, and then just have a read, and then do you know what I mean? See what some stuff you know people are writing. Do you know what I mean? But you know, it can start your day off really bad if you do that.
I'm gonna say. What about you, James?
Every day, yeah. Every first day. Thing I do, look at the reviews. Look at the reviews of just not just our pubs, but you look at
competitors and stuff, and
yeah,
see what's going
yeah,
on.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's interesting.
It's, but you can see what I see is like looking at everybody's reviews lately across the board at other operators. Everyone's getting a lot of shit.
Mm.
It's not just like, you're going, okay, I've had a bad review. You're going into like good operators and seeing them get slammed on stuff. So it seems like there's a general discourse in the public. Everyone's just really pissed off lately.
Yeah, a lot of that. And I think the theme probably is, we came earlier there about food-led pubs. I think food-led pubs will get more attention. I think, I said it before, but you know, someone's watched one episode of MasterChef and thinks of Giles Corran. They want to be, you know, their foodie mate that knows everything. So I think you get a bit of that. But I think the theme at the minute I'm looking at is service. People are demanding more and more of service. And, you know, we're all struggling with getting bums on seats in terms of staff. So I think naturally it will creak a little bit.
Do you think that's fair, Tan? Do you think we're seeing an increase in more sort of demanding negative reviews than positive?
I don't think we're necessarily seeing more negative views. Reviews across the board. I mean, we get a huge volume of reviews that come through our platform from lots of different providers. But I think regardless, what's really important is to not ignore them. I think that if you know, you've got to try and take the emotion out of it and respond to these people. And, you know, obviously, you know, when you're responding, it can, you know, you don't want to be aggressive because then that looks bad on you. But I just think that people have an expectation. I mean, we know that, you know, people will often, like I'm looking at a holiday at the moment, right? You know, and I'm looking, there's lots of five stars, but I'll often go down to the one star reviews to see what's, you know, what people are saying and how the establishment has responded to that one star review. And so it's just important to keep an eye on it. And there are other factors in play apart from what people see when they look at your reviews, right? Like engaging with reviews is really important with Google search. So, you know, there are three factors that the Google algorithm take into consideration when they're looking at your, you know, where you come in their ranking, right? Within reviews, you need to have a decent star rating. You need to respond to negative reviews, and you need to really have a decent volume of reviews as well. So it's not something, you know, it's something where people will look at them and assess them, but it also will affect how you rank and therefore whether you're going to be found. And organically over time, you know, the review volumes have just increased. So I don't know if you're seeing, you know, an increase in negative reviews is just seeing an increase in overall reviews, right? Because that has just grown exponentially over time. And I think we have found in the lockdown, you know, since lockdown that it has grown. People spend more time looking online to decide where they want to go offline.
Right.
You know, my dad never did something like this before, right? He would never look at reviews prior to the lockdown. But when, you know, since lockdown, he's really interested in knowing, you know, what they like in terms of cleanliness, you know, how close to the table, you know, these types of things of interest. And he got into that habit of doing it through lockdown. So I just think it's going to increasingly grow in importance over time.
And I guess I think because we're looking for good experiences now, aren't we? People aren't willing to take a risk as much. They want to be able to control the experience a bit more. So they're going to be looking at sites and assessing and making that decision long before they decide where they're going to go. And that's going to be that's your shop window, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
I mean, I like the fact that Tony was saying take emotion and aggression out of.
He said emotion. He did say nothing about aggression.
No, he did say also aggression. Don't be aggressive here.
It's kind of an emotion aggression, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I mean, is that possible for you, Heath?
No, it's not. There's no leopard that can't change its spots on this one. No, I struggle with it. I struggle with it, especially when people can say what they want and just go on there and they'll fabricate lies and they'll get carried away. I really struggle with some of the stuff they say when you know it's not true and they add a little bit of seasoning to the review to make it sound more dramatic than what it was. So I get really upset with that.
Yeah, I mean, what would you advise with that, Tony? I mean, if you've got that situation where you kind of just going, come on, this isn't fair, this isn't right, what should operators do?
I think the only thing you can do is answer them in a professional manner, right? Like, you should, if you're putting on a good service, then you should have balanced reviews on the whole, you know? And so if you, you know, all you can do really is be professional about it and answer it in a way that is not going to put other people off, right? I don't think you should leave it unsaid, but you just, I think you've just got to be sensible about how you approach somebody who's saying something that you consider to be unfair. You know, we've got thousands of clients, you know, they, like Heath said, he's not the only one who has that type of thing. You've just got to manage it in a way that is going to not cause you damage. I mean, we all know that this happens. Do you know what I mean? You know, I mean, some of the reviews I've seen in time, you know, some of them are ridiculous, right? So everyone knows that it happens, but I think it's the overall perception of how you respond and what your reviews look like. I think that you've just got to be mindful of, you know, if you are aggressive, it will put people off.
I don't think I'm aggressive. I don't think it's aggressive. I think I'm just a bit like...
I wasn't accusing you necessarily of that.
But I think, you know, like when somebody says, like, I'll sit there and I'll go, and then I always do a bit of like research into their previous reviews and their lifestyle and where they eat and stuff. And then I sort of like, you know, then I have an overall picture of what this person's like, you know, like a lot of them are just freaks.
And then you take them down.
Then I go for it. Yeah, then I really spend my time.
I mean, the thing is, though, you know, if you get a complaint in the pub and you bend over backwards to try and sort it out, don't you? Isn't this basically the virtual version? If somebody makes a complaint in that virtual space, then really you've got to do what you would do in the pub. So you've got to turn that into a positive, rather than just simply pointing out that the last time they reviewed was KFC and the bus stop in...
Sometimes, like, do you want these people back in your premises?
No.
You don't. Like, you know what?
No, but isn't it a window for other people to look at it, though? Like Tony said, you know, you go and you look at the one-star reviews to see how they handle them rather... And, yeah, sometimes it can be a benefit if it's a stupid review and you're funny in response.
Yeah, well, that's what I generally do, is I try and just, like, bring it up and just go, oh, my God, you're so ridiculous. You're complaining about the duck rillette being cold because it's a cold dish. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's supposed to be cold.
It's like that truffle pasta, isn't it?
Well, I think...
That's funny. Can I ask you something, Heath? Do you request reviews off of people?
No.
Okay.
I don't open...
How come you don't do that?
Oh, I just think it's cheesy. Do you know what I mean?
Do you?
Yeah, I just don't like going...
We have that with a place near us, Dunwin Hayward Teeth, and it's like every time, and Siobhan was amazing today, and it's gushing, because you know, they ask him to give him a card with the details on it every time, and it is a bit...
And I understand why people do it, because it builds profile and people look and all that, but I'd rather be genuine. I'd rather just leave a review if you want, but going out there and actively, there's a pub down the road from me that does it. They have the cards on the table. How was your experience? Please leave a review.
Would you recommend that? Would you suggest to operators should?
Look, I mean, I think a lot of it depends on what your business is like, right? Like, if your business is sort of in a local village and a lot of it is kind of word of mouth and stuff like that, and, you know, but if it is the type of business that people are going to come in from sort of potentially anywhere, then I would. I mean, because, you know, you're not trying to spin it. You're just trying to address the balance. Mm. So if you've got people that are being really unreasonable, you're seeing a lot of that, Heath, then, you know, you can respond to it. But actually, in many ways, it's better that you've got somebody else who's been visited your premises who's talking positively about it. I don't know what percentage, you know, how many of these negative reviews that you get.
Hundreds.
But that's...
I think like, for context, I think on, like, I'm just trying to think on Google, I'm trying to think, we've got 536 reviews on Google for the Red Lion, and I think is that Red Lion? Yeah, it is. And then I think it's probably like eight one stars.
Okay.
So it's not, you know,
like,
it's not. And then on TripAdvisor, I think it's, I'm trying to think what TripAdvisor is. But yeah, this, I don't know. It's not much. I think it's like 7 or 8 in TripAdvisor out of 330 or something.
But I think there's different things here, because in the corporate world, you're just obsessed by this stuff and you're graded by it. You know, star score,
your bonuses,
KPIs. But if you're an independent operator, life's hard enough, and one of the only joys left is to defend your business.
honestly, without a boss,
to be able to tell a customer to piss off.
Well, without without a boss telling you off for not towing the party line, it's one of the few joys.
But
if you're a good enough operator, though, you know you've got someone else that will put a bum on that seat when they go.
Yeah.
And actually, these people generally kill the mood in the pub anyway.
I've heard of companies actually like the bonuses and all that. So the staff just go around and just get the staff, their mates, to write reviews. Mm. So then you get it all, like, it's all like that, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Just beige.
Well, I mean, that fake reviews, and I mean, that's it's not just bad practice, but, like, it's against the CMA code of practice. Like, people shouldn't be doing fake stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But, we would always recommend that you allow all your reviews to go on. You don't try and juice it, right? You don't try and kind of keep ones away that are fake reviews, because, you know, often when people do, and it might not be in your case, Heath, where people have been unreasonable. I understand you take it personally, but if people are writing negative reviews, actually, like I was saying earlier, in terms of how does that operator respond to that? But I get it. You take it very personally because, you know, it's a kind of an owned business. Mm. And if someone writes something unreasonable, am I allowed to swear on this?
No, yeah, go for it.
It pisses you off, right? Which I completely understand. But yeah, I mean, look, you know, it depends where you sit. But I understand what you're saying in relation to corporate. But it does matter, right? In from the various different perspectives. It matters in Google search, and it matters in how people are perceiving you.
Fantastic. Well, I'm afraid that is pretty much all we've got time for, Tony, but thank you for that. Much appreciated. Some good thoughts there.
Pleasure.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Take care.
Take it easy.
Cheers. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
This is the Lock-In Podcast with myself, Ed Bennington, Heath Ball and James Cuthbertson. We're taking a look at review sites, and earlier we talked about improving review sites. Would being able to review your customers be a help? Maybe Uber style. What do we think, guys?
Oh, imagine when you go to take people's bookings and you go, hi, what's your name and number? And then you type it in and then it has their like Uber rating come up. And you go, yeah, listen, it's really busy on a Friday. We notice you've only got like a 4.1. We're only doing 4.6s tonight. So I'm really sorry. And I see that you've missed some, you don't want to pay service charge 1 week. So we've got some ratings there and it's not great. So thank you.
Maybe go and visit some other places, get your ratings up.
Yeah, maybe try harder. Like, do you know what I mean?
Wasn't this a Black Mirror episode once, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yes.
Yeah.
She had a bit of getting to her wedding.
Yeah, but and her rating dropped down and stuff. But yeah, but imagine that. Like I know people who freak out and go, oh, my Uber rating's getting messed up because they don't think they're going to get picked up. So why can Uber have it and we can't have it?
Well, it's a bit more complicated than just picking someone up and dropping them off, isn't it? But I mean...
Well, what are you going to monitor them by? You're going to monitor by the behaviour.
I think politeness, man. If people ring up, we're to the point now, we're lucky, fortunate enough to be really busy, and people ring up and go, table for four at 8 o'clock. I go, what? And they go, table for four. Oh, so good evening, sir. How are you? Yes. No, I do not have a table. Even if the place was empty. Mm. So I think, you know, if you go, okay, so let me just, and what's your rating, please? Your name? Oof. Sorry.
But I do think if you're going to rate them on, you know, like not turning up, for example, instant block.
Yeah, I block them all the time on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do, right? I mean, you know, no phone call or anything, no excuse, no sorry, that's it. Then they have to explain, you know, why. And then bad behaviour. Life is too short for it.
Yeah, rude, being rude.
You'd have to think about that, wouldn't you? You couldn't do service charge. That's down, that is optional, but you'd certainly do it on, you'd do it on...
Oh, but I'm saying, you just do it like how their attitude is.
Behaviour.
Well, customer. You know what I mean? What they turn up with, like, we had a table once, she booked in, it was one person, one lady, and seven children. It was a table of eight. The kids just trashed the place. So just don't want bookings from that again. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, would you mark them down on their knowledge of wine, perhaps, Heath?
I would, I think. I would.
Not particularly.
I like it when they get... I hate Chardonnay. I hate it. But can I have a bowl of Chablis? Point down.
What's he talking about there, James?
It's wine, Ed.
Ah, right, okay. That's fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, wasn't too sure. I'm going to use big words and... I lost it.
But yeah, I think, you know, I mean, you could, like, it would be more, I think they'd be a bit more wary of their attitude. I think a lot of them go home and set up fake accounts and write stuff. And I think if there's more, I think the big thing is that if there's more accountability and, you know, I mean, so many people just write so much stuff and there's no, you don't even know who they are half the time.
That's back to the Twitter thing, isn't it? Twitter's far more aggressive.
Yeah.
Because there's the, you know,
anonymity.
That's the word
you're looking for, yes.
That. Or at least they don't know who you are.
So that, yeah, definitely makes a difference.
I mean, rating them, yes, but I mean, maybe just being able to comment on the customer itself.
I leave comments all the time.
Yeah, but that's for your view.
For it's my staff, yeah.
Yeah, it's only going to be that. It's not a kind of, you know, a full 360 kind of...
But could you imagine the shit show if you really were allowed to feedback in a public...
Oh, my God, they'd cry.
In the same way that they feel they have the freedom.
Oh, my...
And that's about to 360, but they would cry.
They'd have a breakdown. Because a lot of people don't realise how horrible they are.
Yeah.
They think, because they're spending money, they can sort of do what they want, and the kids can do what they want, but they don't realise how, you know, sometimes people leave a table and you're just like, oh my God, like, what have they done here? Or did they have to really rip the bill up into 300 pieces and drop it on the floor? Do you know what I mean? Some people just don't really care. And I think if you actually told them, the amount of times when I've actually said to somebody, what you've done is really out of order, and explained it, they look, no, it's not. And you're like, yeah, it is. To any rational human being, what you've done is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a customer grab one of my staff's arm when she was passing the table to get her attention, but she grabbed her and she was holding something, so stuff just smashed on the ground. But she, like, who you think, who gives you the right to grab someone physically to get their attention? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, this brings us on, I mean, the topic we haven't touched on yet, but the mental health of operators. I mean, you said yourselves, you know, you guys, you look at this first thing in the morning when you get up, and you can either start the day with a smile or wanting to, well, generally he starts the day with a frown and wanting to kill people the moment he wakes up. But I mean, it takes its toll, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, because especially when the end goal is you just want people, I think, like Clem said, hospitality, you want to look after people and you want people having a good time. And then when you get up and you wake up and you read these reviews, you're like, man, seriously? Like, you know, what they were, like, you're trying to work your head around it. Like, come on, it was nothing like that. And some people just want to go out and do as much damage as they can and hurt, you know. The one I got recently, the guy was just slagging me off. It was just a personal attack on me. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't anything, there was nothing constructive criticism, just didn't like me. Do you know what I mean? Granted, I asked him to leave, but.
It was just threw money at him.
I threw money at them and told them to leave, but yeah.
Like, I mean, it is like Basil Fawlty. I mean, this is part of the problem, isn't it? It's how much of this is Heath's behaviour or the customer's behaviour?
It takes a lot to get me, like, I'll go out of my way to make sure it's nice. And then there's just a point in me just goes, nah, fuck it. And then I go all in.
I mean, you were complaining that, you know, you grind your teeth. The stress of this is, you know, causing you physical.
That's Sophia.
That's his wife.
Yeah, no, I'm getting physical. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Pret a Manger did that thing, be kind. I think we've talked about it before and stuff. You think people would be genuinely happy to go out and have a nice experience in a pub, but they're so pissed off lately that they're going out and they're angry and, oh yeah, who can I take it out on? Okay, there we go. And they just lay in. Do you know what I mean? I think it's. People aren't nice. People aren't being, like, even though you're saying it, reputation, they're not really seeing that. Yeah, like, I'm on the front line. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm seeing the people, the way they talk and their attitude, and, you know, it's not much fun.
I mean, do you ever think about doing a different job?
Yeah, I did. But, like, how do you apply for a hitman? Is that, like, you can't really...
Anger management counselling?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what I'd do. That's the reality. I don't know what I'd do. Like, I don't know.
Go and work for TripAdvisor, maybe. I don't know, so.
Yeah, I'd just be taking bad reviews down for people. Oh, poor guy. Take that one off. Take that one off. Oh, look at this. Everyone's got 5 stars.
It's too much fun to have in the industry, let's be honest.
Yeah, at least it's a fun job.
There we go. Let's leave that one there, then. You're listening to The Lock-In with Ed Bennington, James Cuthbertson and Heath Ball, and we're still banging on about review sites. So we looked at how annoying they are, how you should deal with them, and how they could be improved. But how about we focus on how we nip all this in the bud in the first place, ensure we're not being left with bad reviews. Heath, I guess that means being nice to people. I know that's a hard concept.
I am really nice. I'm genuinely... You know what it is? I'm genuinely nice to people. I'm not fake like TGI Fridays. Good afternoon, how was your day? Like, I genuinely mean it.
You don't care, and you just say, I don't care how your day was. Come in, spend cash.
And shut the fuck up, sit down, and drink.
Yeah. But I generally want people to have a good time. So, but it's just, you know, like, I just can't handle rude people. I don't, people who've got no manners. It really grinds on me. Well, grinds on my teeth. But really,
yeah. On that note, can you just take your feet off the table, please?
I mean, seriously, guys. I mean, what do people need to do to avoid those moments?
Honestly, it's never going to work. All the time we're in Britain. In America, they tear you a new one if you didn't give them the best service, and you'd know about it. But here, people just smile to your face. Oh, lovely. We all do it.
But I think you need it. Like, I think the thing is, like, you need to address problems. You need to look at problems before they happen. Do you know what I mean? And I think, like, if you...
Or read the table, you mean.
Yeah, read the table. See what's going on. Where's their starter? Oh, the waitress, I messed up. Get them a drink. Like, you know what I mean? I think the amount of times I've just gone, get them a drink, tell them we're sorry, that solves most of the problems. Mm. You know, oh, sorry, your table's not ready for you yet. Have a drink at the bar. Okay. Because if they're standing there waiting with no drinks, it just grinds on them. So you've just got to try and... You've just got to make sure the room's moving well, everyone's getting looked after, and I think just spotting problems and working, you know, you've got to be alert to what's going on around you.
I remember talking to a guy in Wales, actually Adrian Emmett, runs a Lion at Chalky, and he does a great training program with his young staff. I've mentioned this before, but it's sort of owls and ouches and wows. It's all owls and wows, and it's about sort of taking that member, new member of staff, through the customer journey and going, you know, guy's on a date with his girl, gets to the door and the doorman's unpleasant to him, yeah. And that ruins it. Or he gets to the bar and he puts his elbow on his fancy jacket that he's worn especially for the day, and he puts it on the bar and a puddle of beer, and that's an ouch as well. It's anticipating and seeing those problems, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just trying to make sure everyone's having a good time. You can always, if you're doing this job long enough, you can look at a table and you can see what's going on straight away. Mm. You know what I mean? You can see grandmother's pissed off that her veg isn't cooked enough. You know what I mean? It's just...
You've met my mum, right?
Yeah.
But then it's just teasing out of them, isn't it? At the end of the day, actually saying, no, there is a... Let's get down
to it. Yeah, it's like just simple things. Just paying attention. I think if you're just paying attention to what's going on in the pub and just constantly looking, you'll always pick up, you know, you'll always just see stuff. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I can tell when my waitress has made mistakes because they're a bit coy and they're doing stuff quietly on the till. And I'm like, what are you up to? Nothing. And then you see a check going ASAP for cauliflower cheese, and you're like, what? I forgot. Okay, just tell them you forgot. You know, if it's a long wait, we'll run and get one quickly. But if it's a long wait, let's get them. You know, I always think we're fortunate because we're in our own businesses, so we're a lot more relaxed about comps. Do you know what I mean? If there's a problem, bottle of wine, or you know, do desserts or coffees. But I think that helps solve a lot of our problems. But a lot of times, people when they're pissed off, you just go, here's a drink, and they just go, okay. Mm. They feel like they've got something for free. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, the rare times where I do lose my shit, when people have been unreasonable, then I'll just won't charge them the
throw
whole
money in their face.
That was a mistake, that one, but yeah. But I'll just ask them to leave. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I don't want your money, leave. And that, you know, but you're not coming back here again. You know?
I mean, do you budget for this? I mean,
we have an allowance. I think we sort of write into our, what we're sort of looking to either comp. We're looking at about 5% comps a month. So, but you know,
but that can be looking after.
Yeah, it can be looking after, right? Yeah, exactly. So, mates come in, or anybody in the industry, or you know, regulars. So, managers have discretion on that as well.
Everyone round to Heath, then.
What's that?
Everyone round to yours, then.
But you know, we are quite generous with our comps, and we do make sure, you know, especially other industry people, we always make sure they have a drink and stuff, and you know, look after them.
So if anyone listening, well, two, three people that listen, if they want a free drink, go and tell them they work in the industry, pop round to Heath.
It's always someone we know, though. It's not just random people coming, I work in the industry.
Ed's sitting there crying. He's like, how many times? I never get anything from you. So it must be other people.
Yeah, I just think, you know what I mean? It's kindness. I think it's like you kill them with kindness if you can.
It's hospitality.
You know?
Right?
Yeah, that is. And you know, my dad told me years ago when we were talking about tipping, and he said, tips when he was a kid, well, what it actually means is to ensure prompt service. So my dad, we used to go out and tip at the beginning of a meal, and we used to get looked after because my dad was on the restaurant trade. So we used to get looked after all the time. He'd go, I know you're going to be busy tonight, here's some money, I'll give you another one at the end, can you just make sure we get good service tonight? And we never had problems with service.
Like shaking the doorman's hand with a note in it. Yeah,
because they know your intention.
Is that bribery?
Yeah, I think maybe it's the same thing.
But you've already set the intention with the staff. You know what I mean? They're not going to care. Especially when you go to America on holiday, if you do that, especially being foreign, they know that, okay, great, these guys aren't going to step me on the tip of the end. Yeah. So, you know, I think a bit of monetary incentive works really well.
So there you go. If you want to go to Heath's Pub and have a good time,
pay me.
pay his staff up front. And I mean, does it always work though? You know, you've had a customer in, they've had a bad experience, you've done your best, you've given them the free bottle of wine and the free meal.
I had this recently. I had this recently with a group of people. I knew one of the guys at the table. I didn't know the rest of them. There were eight of them on a Sunday lunch. And my mate came and called me over and he said, listen, she's not really happy with the roast potatoes. We're all happy with our roast potatoes. For some reason, her ones aren't great. I said, no worries, mate. And I did some comps, you know what I mean? Because I knew it was her birthday. So I took quite a sizable amount off the bill. Next day, I'm in there. I'm in my office and this Google Alert comes up. And it's the woman in the photo that I've looked after giving me a one-star review. No comments, a one-star review. So I ring my mate up. I said, hey, mates just left a review. And he went, no, he hasn't. No, she hasn't. And I said, yeah. So I said to him, he goes, oh. I said, not only that, she's opened a Google account to leave a review. This is her first ever review. And she works in like some sort of music business, whatever.
That has
reviews on her site, you know, and they're not great either. So I'm sitting there going, what are they, yeah, what's going on here? Mm. So like I said, can you have a word to her? And he obviously has, but she hasn't taken it. I said, you know, I comped quite a bit on your bill that day, because I knew it was her birthday and I gave you some bubbles and I took off her meal. And
what did you do to her?
She was upset about the potatoes.
That was it. Wow.
She was upset about the potatoes, but made a massive issue about it. Like, I ruined my day. And you're like, we wouldn't have got new potatoes. We wouldn't have got new potatoes, but she was pissed off.
Mm.
See, some people are just unreasonable.
You can't always win.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's leave that one there. This is the Lock In Podcast, and we are at the end of this week's episode, recording it at the Prince in Peckham. We've been talking about review sites and the best ways to deal with them in between ranting and complaining about them. But they can be a source of fun as well. We've seen some epic responses to complaints, and not just from Heath. So, guys, I mean, let's give me some examples. You know, what's caught your eye when it comes to either good responses or ridiculous reviews?
The great one of all was the guy who set the shed up, wasn't it? Just a trick. TripAdvisor to be number one. That's going to be the gold standard.
Well, he became, what was it, number one restaurant in London, which didn't actually exist.
Yeah, which is pretty pretty epic in its own way. I mean, I just love some of the ridiculous things. Like, there was King Arthur's seat in Scotland, no chairs. Great Wall of China.
Well, that's fair enough.
Great Wall of China, just a wall. Abbey Road, London, no zebras.
Yeah, surely those people are just taking the piss there, aren't they?
Grand Canyon, US, overblown sandy ditch. Now, this is my favourite. This is my favourite. This is from someone who lives in Amsterdam.
Oh, God.
Anne Frank House.
Oh, no.
Very claustrophobic.
Oh, no. Honestly, I mean, they've got to be
worse. I'm serious. This is, it's just extraordinary. And Ben Nevis, Scotland, no pubs and too cloudy.
No, I did read that one, yeah.
No pubs and too cloudy.
Top of Ben Nevis, there was no amenities at the top of the mountain.
It's just ridiculous.
I think the same person had gone up Snowdon on the train and found there was a cafe at the top and assumed that was going to be the experience of every mountain.
Exactly that. And there's a great one about that. There's a guy on the Isle of Wight that does that, you know, much like Heath, really gets stuck into the pies, but last time I was in the Isle of Wight, it was a year or so ago, they were still in the 80s, so I don't think they've got TripAdvisor there yet, let alone broadband, so I'm not sure whether that in itself is a fake review.
You've just lost our one listener in the Isle of Wight.
We got off the leads last week, so I was going to be all right this week.
Heath, what about you? Any particular favourites?
My favourite's 5 years ago. I served this guy, it was like a Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday afternoon, and this guy comes in, and we had a Green King Fireside Ale on, Amber Ale, 4.something%, comes in, he orders a pint of ale, and he goes and sits down at the table near the fire and has lunch and then gets his bill, and then a couple of hours later get an online review saying, I went to the Red Lion and Sun, it was a really quiet Wednesday afternoon, I went and sat near the fire and I got my bill and they charged me £3.60 to sit next to the fire side. I was like, dear sir, we do not charge to sit next to the fire. I think that was for the pint of ale you consumed called Fireside.
Still, no response review remains up.
Still left the review up. Like, it's just the insanity of it all. He didn't look at his bill and go, oh, wicked.
Free pint.
I've got a free
but
pint.
But they charged me for
but
the
they charged me to sit next to the fire. What is this?
Buggers.
Oh, my God. What a rip-off. Yeah, like that's probably my favourite.
You'd like to think they were sharp enough to be that funny,
but clearly no, it's not, clearly though. Not. Like it's, you know, I think some of them are just nuts. I think really, you know, I think most some people just want to fight or just want to. I think a lot of people they just want to be heard. Like it's just their voices out there. Like they've got something to say, and people need to listen.
If you set up a podcast with a really low audience figure, works for us.
Okay.
Well, diminishing.
That's it. So I think that's probably all we've got time for in this week's episode. But we will be back next week for more podcast fun and frivolity and other words beginning with F. Not that one, Heath. Until then, look after yourselves.
Thank you.